So put your college. This is KFC Los Altos Hills.
I believe that we accomplished a lot. But there was one thing that just didn't look right. And that was that for the first time in my life, I had accepted something that I hadn't paid for. And even though I honestly believe that the government of the United States should have paid for it, should have put it in, I then picked up the phone and asked for a bill. I got a bill. In fact, I got two of them. I didn't ask to be backdated, but after all, Mr. Robinette is an old hand in the CIA. All right, the bills came with the old original dates, and I think there was another bill with a later date on it. And then, as I told you yesterday, I was going to tell you the truth, the good, the bad, and the ugly. This is the truth. I did probably the grossest misjudgment that I've made in my life. I then tried to paper over that whole thing by sending two phony documents back to Mr. Robinette. It was not an exercise in good judgment. I don't believe I have any particular monopoly on bad judgment. I think it was a gross error in judgment for this committee to put my home address up on the screen for the whole world to see when I've got 20 security agents guarding my wife, my children, and me right now. The fact is, I am grateful for that assistance beyond measure. Because when you think about what could happen when somebody like that is out to kill you and doesn't care if he takes out your children with you, you run out of options in a big hurry. I ran out of options. I think the government of the United States should have stepped up to it and didn't. Whether it's because of laws or regulations, I don't know. I admit to making a serious, serious judgment error in what I then did to paper it over. To you gentlemen, that if it was General Secord who paid the bill, whatever it was, I thought it was $8,000. Didn't learn until the hearing started it was more. I also suggest to you that if it was General Secord, first of all, thank you, General Secord. And second of all, you guys ought to write him a check because the government should have done it to begin with. Thank you, sir.
22. 22.
On KFJC 89.7. Thank you for tuning in. I am Jeremiah Johnson, and this is Aural Experimentation, Exploration, and Exploitation Part 1. I am live mixing here in the studio, teasing, twisting, blending, and mixing. Live mixing here in the studio with the KFJC library. We have tons and tons of vinyl records here. KFJC.org for all the details about the playlist. I would like you to head to Psychotronics. That's today, Saturday, May 4th at 7 p.m. It's $5. It's always a great time, and it is May the 4th. So maybe you should dress up a little. I highly suggest Star Trek, Starfleet uniforms. I'm sure you can come as a Star Wars character, I guess. KFJC.org for more information about the Psychotronics Film Festival happening tonight at 7 p.m. Let's get back to the sounds here on KFJC.
Though there was evidence of his innocence, his court-appointed lawyer maintained that because Jackson had a record of 2 instances of petty crime, he should be guilty in exchange for a light sentence in the county jail. He did, and instead received an indeterminate sentence of 1 year to life. Jackson spent the next 10 years in prison, 7.5 of them in solitary confinement. Instead of succumbing to the dehumanization of prison existence, he transformed himself into the leading theoretician, prison movement, and a brilliant writer. On January 16, 1969, a few days after a prison guard shot and killed 3 black Soledad inmates, another guard started beating to death.
Soledad was a real intense place.
David Johnson, prison activist and former prisoner.
There have been a lot of killings in the hold. Most of the killings in the hold. Racial killings, and there have been a couple of instances where guards were doing cell extractions that tear gas and killed inmates. Tension is there, real hot. Assassinations on guards and stuff like that. Alvin Miller and Steve Edwards took it this whole of these inmates.
The three, who became known as the Soledad Brothers, were brought in chains and shackles to 2 secret hearings in Salinas County, and so commenced one of the most extensive legal defenses in U.S. history. The Soledad Brothers were charged with murder, not because there was any substantial evidence of their guilt, but because they had been identified as black militants by the prison authorities. If convicted, they would face a mandatory death sentence.
The Soledad Brothers all have this basis and this connection with the Black Party.
David Hilliard, Black Panther Party leader.
George, who says himself it was the Black Panther Party more than anything that gave expression to the political prisoners as a voice.
Notice had to be served on the Department of Labor. That you just could not want to kill black people without some type of response. Here to Malcolm X's philosophy, there's nothing wrong with self-defense. When those brothers got killed on the yard, the courts ruled that it was justifiable homicide. What alternative do you have as a group?
The Soledad Brothers case emerged as a focal point for a growing movement demanding changes within California prisons. It was a time when the American status quo was shaken by black rebellion in more than 100 cities, as well as the mass movement against the Vietnam War.
These ideas were developed against the backdrop of progressive revolutions transforming the globe.
Angela Davis, prison abolitionist and University of California professor.
The struggles of the Vietnamese people, for example. The fact that increasing numbers of countries in Africa were achieving their independence. And today people tend to think about the movements of the 60s as movements that were very separate, nationalist, racially defined, because they're looking at them through the lens of what is generally considered to be identity politics today. But as a matter of fact, the Black Power movement per se was not an exclusive movement. There were people of all racial, ethnic backgrounds involved in that movement. There was a connection with global movements. And there was a connection with the Young Lords, the Brown Berets, the American Indian movement. We were part of a global revolution. There was no question about the importance of making those connections and building those bridges.
The prison was our battleground, battlefield.
David Johnson.
It wasn't in isolation with what was taking place outside. Because as people start to raise their voices about civil rights violations and human rights violations, then brothers inside, through civil litigation, through protests, strikes, and stuff like that, fought to gain their civil rights and human rights.
On August 7th, 1970, just a short time after George Jackson was transferred to San Quentin Prison, the Soledad Brothers case was catapulted to the forefront of national news when George's brother, Jonathan, a 17-year-old high school student in Pasadena, led a raid on the Marin County Courthouse with a satchel full of handguns, an assault rifle, and a shotgun hidden under his coat. Educated as a political revolutionary by his brother, Jonathan invaded the court during a hearing for three San Quentin inmates, not including his brother, and handed them weapons. As Jonathan left the courthouse, leading the three prisoners and five hostages, including the judge, he demanded that the Soledad brothers be released. Prison guards and other authorities opened fire on the escape van, killing Jonathan Jackson, William Christmas, James McLean, and the judge. Only one black prisoner, Rochelle McGee, survived what has become known as the Marin County Rebellion. Rochelle McGee.
This is one of the reasons I fight so hard and fight back, and will continue to do so with the belief that I've always had. As long as you fight, nobody know how the fight gonna come out. It's a possibility I might win, but I know if I stop, I cannot win. I also believe that one man can make a difference if he's sincere.
Of Jonathan, George wrote, "He was free for a while. I guess that's more than most of us can expect." George Jackson, recorded in San Quentin before his murder.
I don't think that it's fair to Jonathan Jackson. I don't think it's fair to William Christmas or to James McLean or Brother McGee. I don't think it's fair at all to try to bury those brothers' examples.
And, you know, Jonathan sacrificed his life for the cause of freeing his brother and all of those who were unjustly imprisoned.
There wasn't one thing that could stop those brothers from attaining what they started out to do. I think it was well thought out. The mistake was in underestimating the viciousness of the prison guards.
David Hilliard.
Jonathan Jackson made an attempt to free George and other political prisoners. Certainly a revolutionary action. Jonathan and the judge and William Christmas and James McLean were all killed in that event. And Rochelle McGee, who still lingers in prison, was also a part of that attempt to free those brothers from prison.
Rochelle McGee, prison activist and jailhouse lawyer, still in prison for his political resistance.
Slavery is something that is being practiced by the system under the color of law. Slavery 400 years ago, slavery today is the same, but with a new name. They're making millions and millions of dollars off of enslaving blacks, poor whites, and others. Daily, people who don't even know that they are being railroaded.
George Jackson.
The only way the prisoner can maintain his position is by fostering, nurturing, building contempt for the prisoner. The institution that put this establishment has to be assaulted.
Hugo Pinnell, prison activist and leader, still in prison for his political activities and resistance.
Well, I'm a revolutionary in the sense that I believe that what the word means to change something, you know, in a big way. But many changes got to happen in order for the people on the bottom, the people like black people, Latinos, and you know, in the United States and throughout the world. I feel that there are many things that has to happen before we can get justice.
Political incarceration removes threats to the political and economic hegemony of the United States. Even though in 1959, George Jackson initially went to prison as an everyday lawbreaker with a one-year-to-life sentence, it was his political consciousness that kept him incarcerated for 11 years.
One of the important achievements of the movement during that period was to do what George Jackson called the transformation of a criminal consciousness into a political consciousness.
Angela Davis.
I mean, this was precisely what he took on. And no one can deny that there were many people then, as now, committing antisocial acts against members of their communities, members of other communities.
So that when you leave these institutions and go back to your communities, you can be an asset to your community and not a predator.
David Johnson.
And a lot of brothers embrace that concept.
We did a lot of studying.
Luis Bato Talamantes, prison activist and former prisoner.
And he was persistent in talking to me and other Chicano brothers who had no real interest, no inclination to even be political. We were still kind of like inclined to be criminal.
I was there from 1968 on. I began to grow.
Willie Sundiata Tate, prison activist and former prisoner.
Through other people who was in prison, by them like sharing information and just stimulating me to use my brain to not just exist, you know.
For the first 4 years, I read in economics, true economics.
George Jackson.
The second 4 years, I read in exclusively in military things, you know, guerrilla warfare, Mao Zedong. I read the Truman stuff, I read the Jacques. People's army, people's war. Went through the whole game, the whole thing, the whole life.
George Jackson, I was referring to the Vietnamese people soldiers, the Viet Cong as comrades.
Bato Talamantes.
And George Jackson was the one that would, with a nice smile, George Jackson really kind of had a big smile. And he would kind of like get a twinkle in his eye, and he would kind of lead you down this thing going, and show you in a very simple, kind of like an educational way so that you didn't feel like he was talking over you, putting you down. He would show you step by step how your mind got manipulated into rooting for the wrong side, see?
Senses and our minds will no longer respond to moderate stimulation. We seem to be approaching an age of the gross. Persuasion through speeches and books is too often discarded for disruptive demonstrations aimed at bludgeoning the unconvinced into action. The young, and by this I don't mean by any stretch of the imagination all the young, but I'm talking about those who claim to speak for the young. At the zenith of physical power and sensitivity, overwhelm themselves with drugs and artificial stimulants. Subtlety is lost, and fine distinctions based on acute reasoning are carelessly ignored in a headlong jump to a predetermined conclusion. Life is visceral rather than intellectual. And the most visceral practitioners of life are those who characterize themselves as intellectuals. Truth is to them revealed rather than logically proved. And the principal infatuations of today revolve around the social sciences, those subjects which can accommodate any opinion and about which the most reckless conjecture cannot be discredited. Education is being redefined at the demand of the uneducated to suit the ideas of the uneducated. The student now goes to college to proclaim rather than to learn. The lessons of the past are ignored and obliterated in a contemporary antagonism known as the generation gap. A spirit of national masochism prevails, encouraged by an effete core of impudent snobs who characterize themselves as intellectuals.
Oh, వేదాంత చింత పరిణత ఫలమే ప్రేమ సర్వస్వ సారం పాయి వృందావనత్తిం హిమకర భగవాన్ బాల గోపాల కృష్ణన్ లోకానందదవల్లకీ కడరవం నాణిచ్చిడും വണ്ണം ഈ മാകന്ദത്തളിർത്തിന്നു നന്നു മധുരം പാടുന്ന ഗാനത്തിനാൽ ആകർഷിച്ചു ജഗത്രയാത്മലയമേ കീടും മഹാപുണ്യവാനാകും കോകില കേട്ടിരോ ചരിച്ച
KFJC 89.7, your favorite radio station, KFJC.org, KFJC on your iPhone app, or perhaps your Android app. We have those. Check it out. Take KFJC wherever you go. Good morning, everyone. I am Jeremiah Johnson. This is a special edition of The Slow Rise. We are in mayhem. And I am experimenting, exploring, and exploiting the sounds of the KFJC library until 9 a.m. Actually, forgot to thank and huge shout out to DJ Murdoch, who carried KFJC through the graveyard shift. KFJC has an extensive training program, and before you're allowed to go on day shift, you must complete 13 graveyard shifts for practice. Not a lot of radio stations offer that type of training. So stay tuned for the training class. More information, kfjc.org. live mixing here in the studio. Robert Emmett will be in at 9 o'clock to word you up about the Psychotronics Film Festival happening today. That's Saturday, May 4th at 7 p.m. KFJC.org for more information. Back to the sounds with KFJC.
And I need it on the promised land.
Yeah.
patatiro songo.
Alah, kuningan.